for the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Kate Scott. This is The Update. On today's show, well, it's back. That's right, baseball is finally coming back after the owners voted unanimously on Monday night to have Commissioner Rob Manfred mandate a season. And 24 hours later, the Players Union agreed to report to a shortened spring training starting next week. So let's dig in with Giants and ESPN play-by-play announcer Dave Fleming. It's Friday, June 26th. Well, Flem, welcome to the update. Is baseball actually really coming back? Do you believe it yet?
Yeah, after all that, after listening for weeks and months to the back and forth, and a lot of that time wasn't very fun, baseball is coming back. Of course, now all that gets qualified by, here we have in these last few days, a bunch of cases, not just around the country where there are many, many more cases, but in baseball itself, you know, a lot of these facilities that have opened the last few weeks now are having many outbreaks. And so, you know, I guess even though we're chuckling and saying, yeah, finally baseball's back, it's not a full 100% guarantee that it's back. I'm sure that we're going to get some games in, and I'm hopeful that we're going to get a full mini season in.
Yeah, me too. Now, as somebody inside the game, what were you thinking as the owners and players were going back and forth so publicly the past few months?
It's never fun to listen to. I try not to focus too hard on it because I do think that, look, in America, our system allows for advocacy. Our system allows for lawyers and experts and strategy and negotiations, whether that's through unions or otherwise. Like, that's a part of our country and our country's history. And so I don't have any problem for two sides negotiating for what they believe is right for them. That's kind of how our whole system is built. So I'm happy to tolerate some argument and all. You know, I thought it got too public. I thought, especially considering all the other stuff going on in the world, not just the virus, but the other important things that have been happening these last few weeks, it just came across as tone deaf at times, how public the bickering got. But, you know, now I'm choosing to be optimistic about the fact that, look, it wasn't perfect. The two sides still aren't getting along very well, but we're going to have baseball. And everybody now seems united in, let's do our best to follow the protocols to get this season in. And then there are going to be more troubles. I mean, there are. It's not going to be smooth sailing over the next couple of years, but I'm trying to be genuinely excited. And the other day when the news officially sort of came out that, okay, we've agreed to have a season, I had a big smile on my face because even though the last few weeks haven't been fun, that made me happy to think we are going to get some baseball.
Yeah, me too. So let's dive into what we know. 60 games, 40 against your own division, 20 against corresponding interleague division. So for the Giants, that'll be 40 against NL West opponents, 20 against AL West opponents, all starting either July 23rd or 24th. So what do you like? What don't you like? And how's that 40-20 split looking for our Giants?
You know, that's probably not a great thing for the Giants because the American League West is strong. The Astros and the A's in particular are strong, but the Angels have gotten a lot better, I think. Texas is a maybe not a great team, but has the potential to be a pretty good team, and Seattle is a pretty good team. So if you're just doing an analysis of every game means so much, I would say the Giants' schedule would be harder than most just because of that, quote, interleague overlap. If it had been me, after all this, 60 games, they'd all be in the division. You'd just play your division. But that's not how it's going to be. So 10 games, 40 games, as you said, in division, that's 10 games against each of the other opponents. And we're going to have some weird two-game series probably when they announce the schedule. And it's probably not going to be great. But I think the challenge for the Giants will be on that schedule, Astros, Dodgers, A's, even Diamondbacks, Padres have a lot of talent. Like you're talking about some of the more talented teams in baseball, and that's going to be the challenge for the Giants. The upside is that it's only 60 games. And we saw last July, the Giants against a hard part of their schedule got hot and played really well. And that could certainly happen again this year and probably negate some of the advantages of the superpower type teams to play a shorter season.
What have you heard as far as broadcasting is concerned, Dave? Will you guys be traveling with the team? Do you know yet?
You know, I don't know. And it could be by the time you all cut this up and put it on the podcast network that we will know for sure. But our assumption all along has been no broadcast travel. Broadcast from home, be in person watching the home games and then do the road games from the home broadcast booths, but not travel with the team. And then I heard, as you and I are talking, that maybe on the radio side, that maybe that is changing, that maybe there's a possibility that the radio broadcasts are going to travel. There's not a huge difference. It's still going to be a big challenge for television to do broadcasts remotely. But you can envision radio where we're not talking to pictures. We're just trying to describe what we're seeing, the immense challenge of doing a radio game off of a monitor, where a team is going to produce a telecast. Look, they're not going to be fans in the stands, but there's still going to be other stuff to watch, whether it's somebody warming up in a bullpen or a manager doing something in the dugout or the scoreboard showing something or the sun setting or whatever it is. The moments when a television broadcast would show something like that, and you're trying to do a radio broadcast, not seeing anything in front of you, only relying on that television monitor, that's an extreme challenge. And, you know, my feeling is that somebody decided that was too big of a challenge and the radio broadcasts are going to travel. But I haven't heard officially that that has changed. That obviously makes a big difference in how we do what we do.
Yeah, well, we'll keep our eye on that because you spoke to so many challenges right there. Rule changes. This has caught the attention of a lot of folks, so let's get into a couple of those. The universal DH, at least for the shortened season and this postseason, every team, National League included, is going to use a designated hitter. And I know a lot of baseball folks are very passionate about this subject. Where do you stand, Dave, on the universal DH?
I am like some other people who have started to move in the direction of being, you know, I've always been an advocate for the National League style of play. I always thought that there was more strategy involved, and I still think there is more strategy involved in terms of when to take a pitcher out if an at-bat is coming up. There are decisions to be made that are really important that get taken away. That said, the last few years, watching pitchers hit less and less effectively. You know, we've kind of been spoiled because of Bumgarner, but other than Bumgarner, the Giants haven't had a very good hitting pitcher in a long time, and almost nobody has a good hitting pitcher. And so those at-bats have been sort of, in a way, wastes of time over the last few years. And there are lots of reasons for that. We saw some pitchers start to get hurt. Teams decided it wasn't in their interest to let pitchers really work on hitting. There's too much of a risk of injury. Lots of reasons for that. But pitcher hitting has declined big time. So I'm of the mindset that I'd be totally fine if ultimately we went away from pitchers hitting. And there still can be some strategy. There can be some different strategies. The thing that I guess I would be sad about is that if this season becomes the impetus to make that change permanent as of right now, essentially, if we never get to watch another National League style game again, I think that would be a shame. And I think that people deserve to have a goodbye, so to speak. In other words, late last year, we had no idea we were watching the last games of National League style baseball. And I think it's very possible that that is the case. It's very possible that we never have a pitcher hit again. And that, to me, would be a shame that we never sort of had a chance to say goodbye, maybe relish it for one last season, have a little warning about it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Another change, all extra innings are going to begin with a runner on second during the regular season this year. The minor leagues adopted this rule a couple years back, and they saw a huge uptick, understandably, in games ending in the 10th inning as a result. So what are your thoughts on this change?
I think that's a really good change for this particular circumstance. This is the perfect chance to see how that feels, because I've never been to, I mean, I've seen the same numbers you have that you just cited about how it's worked in the minor leagues, how games have been shortened. Almost no games ever go past like 12 innings. And
right,
it's
yeah.
Something, the figure you were citing is something like 45% of games as it is now in the big leagues get decided in the first extra inning. Whereas in the minor leagues with the runner on second rule, something like 75% of games ended with that first extra inning. To me, that is a really good thing. I don't want to gimmick baseball. I don't want to change baseball, but the interminable extra inning games just aren't that compelling to watch. And people vote with their rear ends in the stadium. And it's the only sport where a game goes to, quote, overtime and people get up and leave. And we have a problem already with games going too long and too late at night. And it's just not good for the sport when what should be the most exciting thing, hey, we got a tie, every at bat now could decide the game. That should be the most exciting part of a game. And in baseball, somehow it's become like the time when you get up and go home and say, I saw nine innings.
Yeah, exactly.
If we could somehow change that to where people almost were rooting for a tie at the end of the ninth so that they got to see this new rule. I mean, for me, I would make the bases loaded. I would do something even more extreme.
Yeah.
Just to try to build up that excitement of, let's make the 10th inning really fun as opposed to something everybody goes, that's not good for the game when people go, So I'm really excited that we're trying that this year, and let's see how it goes. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're all going to hate it and we'll go back to the way it was, but my guess is that we won't hate it.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to make changes and see if people like them, and I'm right there with you again. Speaking of excitement, Dave, rumors have already resumed about Farhan potentially bringing Yasiel Puig to the Bay. Do you think there's weight to that rumor? And if so, how would he fit?
I do think the Giants believe that they made their team a lot better against lefties in the offseason. You know, part of that was Hunter Pence, who destroyed lefties last year in Texas coming back, you know, potentially as a DH mostly, now that we're going to use that against lefties. I think the Giants are excited about Jalen Davis. The Giants saw a lot of good things from Austin Slater last year. But Yasiel Puig might be a different case, and maybe they would decide that, hey, we're looking at the schedule. The Dodgers have a bunch of lefties. The Padres have lefties. Over in the American League West, you're going to play 10 games against those teams. The A's have lefties. The Angels have lefties. You know, maybe the Giants have decided, look, our schedule is going to be heavily, heavily weighted with left-handed pitchers. This guy's out there. We don't have to pay him a whole lot. He's good. He's unpopular here, but you know, there aren't going to be fans in the ballpark to boo him.
That's true.
You know,
good
you can
point.
Boo from home. But, you know, to me, look, if the whole idea of this season is it's going to be weird, it's going to be different, let's make it fun, would having Yasiel Puig in a Giants uniform be something that people might want to see? I think the answer is yes. So I don't know if it's going to happen. You know, Farhan told me last week that he feels pretty confident that they have the internal options at DH. Darren Ruff was having a really good spring training. Pablo's going to be ready to go against right-handers especially. So I think the DH is mostly covered, but I think the Giants could talk themselves into an outfielder, a guy who can still play well in the outfield regularly, being able to help this team. So we'll see.
Oh, man, goodness. We'll see indeed. I know a lot of folks are already excited about a potential Puig-Bumgarner matchup in a way that a lot of us didn't expect just a couple of years ago. Flem, this was great. Thanks for coming on today, spending some time.
All of it would be better than what we've had, right? Like,
amen.
Anything is going to be more fun than these last few months. And so let's see if we can pull it off. Hope everybody can stay safe. Always good to talk to you, Kate.
Thanks, Dave. All right, that does it for another week of shows here on The Update. Don't forget, you can now listen to us through any of your Google devices. All you have to do is tell your assistant, play The Update with Kate Scott Podcast. And if you're enjoying the pod, we'd love for you to rate, review, and subscribe. For all of us here at The Update and the Athletic Podcast Network, thanks to Dave Fleming for stopping by. Thanks to you for listening. I'm Kate Scott. Have a safe and healthy weekend, everybody. Looking forward to talking more baseball with Jason Stark on Monday.